The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate the Palmores and very faithful here. Brother Palmore, of course, is our music coordinator, also music director, works in the financial office, and I appreciate him and his precious wife, of course, very faithful to serve beside him as he's also, and she also is teaching in the Sunday school class and doing many other things around the church. Take your Bible, if you will, and go back to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to get into this story this morning to see how Elijah lived through a crisis. Now, may I say that there's going to be crises that do come in your life. Sometimes a crisis, you can see it coming. You kind of, sort of like the earthquake when I was preaching down in Napa, California, the week after that we preached down there for Dr. Mike Ray, and we came back, I think it was the week after, maybe 8 days or so after that, they had an earthquake that hit there that devastated the town, and I'm talking about millions upon millions of dollars worth of damage, you know, and that was something that would kind of caught them off guard. But here we have sirens that go off. Sometimes when there is the tornadoes that come through, you know, all of a sudden you hear the sirens go off and people are kind of warned a little bit ahead of time that there's a devastating type of storm that's heading our way. And so sometimes you can see storms coming, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can see things kind of mounting up and you see, okay, we got to brace ourselves. You know, sort of like when you get on some of the rides, get on a merry-go-round, you don't have to brace yourself too much. You get on one of these other haunting type of fast rides, you know, you got to brace yourself and they buckle you in real good. You know, and you just take off, okay? And so sometimes these crises will hit you, and you see them coming. Other times crises hit you, and you just don't see them coming until they hit you broadside. And I think that Elijah faced both of these. I think that there was a time when he was down there beside the brook, and he was warned, and of course he saw it coming, and he went. When the brook dried up, however, I don't think he saw that one coming quite the way that he may have saw it go down and go down, but it just, yeah, he was looking for a way to be able to get some relief and did not understand until God showed him. And by the way, can I help you? Whether the crisis just shows up or whether it eventually shows up, God is always going to help you get through it, okay? I know we're in the Philippines. My wife and I was in contact with each other, and she said, honey, a portion of the back fence has collapsed. Well, that was something that we did not expect to take place, especially while I was in the Philippines. But then two of our young people went over there, heard about it, took it upon themselves to go over there and put it up. I'm very thankful for that. And then she said, honey, my car broke down. Well, we didn't expect that to happen either while we were in the Philippines, okay? And there was some crises that happened took place in her life while I was in the Philippines. Then while we were over there, three of our members that was a part of the team got sick. Brother Wattenbarger got sick right before we left. He's an evangelist out of the Tennessee area, and he got sick, and so that didn't go well with him. Then Dale Cavanaugh, one of our junior young people that was a part of the team, that's one of our college students here at Lone Star Baptist College, he got sick. And then on the way back, my daughter Rebecca got very sick, and she was in the plane and throwing up and just not feeling well at all. And so we had three people that got sick. Then Jayshree Fenton, they're on vacation now. Parents was waiting to pick her up. Of course, Mom, I guess, was waiting to pick her up as they go up there to visit some people. And of course, Brother Fenton holding the job down here with a new job. And so they took off. She lost her purse and lost her cell phone. And so what an amazing story. You ready? We were in Chinatown doing some shopping. She lost her cell phone, lost her wallet, if you will. And all of a sudden, my son gets a text from somebody saying that they found her wallet and they found her cell phone. He's in the U.S. They're in the Philippines. They went through her cell phone, found pictures, was able to identify her, and somehow or another contacted somebody here and got a hold of my son. And then from 4 o'clock to 11:30 that night, they were trying to find her. These are four brand new Chinese Christians. four brand new Chinese Christians, and they just got saved not too long ago, found the cell phone and the wallet in an alley that we'd walked down. It had, I guess, fallen from her body, found it, and so all of a sudden they traced us down, caught us, drove an hour and a half to get to the hotel, met me down there at 11:30 at night. I met them, shook their hand. I said, look, can I give you some money? I'd like to be able to reward you. Maybe I give you $100 or whatever. Oh, they said, no, Pastor, we don't want a reward, but if you would pray for us, we'd appreciate that. We're brand new Christians, and this was our adventure. And so, and they brought it back. Hey, thank God for honesty. Thank God for honesty. I told Jay Shree, I said, go through it. Just curious. Just go through it. Kind of find out if anything was missing. She said, preacher, it's all there. It's all there. And she had several different types of money that was in there. And so that is real neat. So, you know, to some people, what a crisis is, when you look at it, okay, fence went down. All of a sudden, some of our young people go over, fix up the fence. Somebody else helped out with the car. With the three people got sick, we ran to their aid. We were able to help them with the wallet, with the cell phone that was taken. All of a sudden, strangers from nowhere came up, be able to rescue that, bring it all the way back, an hour and a half drive from where they live to the hotel room. I did the research from 4 o'clock to 11:30 that night to find out who it belonged to. Well, can I tell you, what looks like a crisis may turn out to be a blessing. But you have to be able to see the blessing in the crises. Now, let's notice something. Take your Bible. We believe in the Bible. We want to see what the Bible says about living through a crisis. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. You see that this is Elijah the Tishbite. So here's a man of God, and he's getting ready to go through a crisis. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're a businessman. Doesn't matter if you're a businesswoman. Doesn't matter if you're a husband. Doesn't matter if you're a wife. Doesn't matter if you're somebody that's an entrepreneurialist. Doesn't matter if you're an employee. There's going to be days in your life when you go through crises. There's no exception for the preacher. Here's the preacher here, Elijah the Tishbite. He's getting ready to go through some crises. The Bible says in verse 2 that the word of the Lord came unto him saying, now watch this, in verse 3, it says, get thee hence, it says, and turn thee eastward and hide thyself in the brook Cherith. It says, that is before Jordan. Now, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Why is it? Crises is coming. You see it's coming. Why am I going to go down and hide myself beside the brook Cherith? The Bible says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded that ravens to feed thee there. And so here he is. He's getting ready to go through a time of famine, but God already has it under control. And can I tell you, God always will have it under control. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're coming from. Doesn't matter your financial well-being. It doesn't matter your intellect level. God knows exactly who you are, and God knows what problems you're facing in your life, and God always has an answer. You're not serving a dead God. You're serving a living God. You're not serving a God that cannot answer prayer. You're in a situation where God is the master prayer answerer. Now watch this. The Bible says in verse 5, the Bible says, and he went and he did according to the word of the Lord. And he went, the Bible says, and dwelt by the brook Cherith. And that is before Jordan. So he didn't ask questions. He said, God, this is what you want me to do. He didn't say, now God, you understand now, if I travel that distance, which was a great distance away, by the way, you don't understand that if I get beside the brook Cherith, that might not be enough to be able to meet my need. No, he trust and obeyed. He trust and obeyed. He trust and obeyed. And by the way, when you trust and obey, God can meet your needs. Verse 6, the Bible says, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass that after a while, that the brook dried up. Now, by the way, when your brook begins to dry up, don't panic. The same God that provided the raven, the same God that provided the food through the raven, the same God that provided the water through that which is the brook, when all of a sudden your brook begins to dry up, don't forget it's the same God that made the brook, that sent the raven, that prepared the food for the raven to bring. It's the same God that answered prayer then that can answer prayer right now. All right, now watch this. The Bible says, and it came to pass that after a while the brook dried up, because it says there not no rain, it says, had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came onto him, saying. So now the word of the Lord comes on him again. And providing an unlikely, if you would please, provision. Notice what the provision is. The Bible says, arise, it says, and get thee to Zarephath that belongeth unto Zidon. The Bible says, and dwell there. Watch what it says. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Isn't it amazing how God will provide in the most unlikely fashion for your needs? You look for God to provide this big way. And sometimes God will say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out of the way, and I'm going to put you in an obscure way. I'm going to put you in a hidden way. And in that hidden way is where I'll speak to your heart. In that hidden way is where I'll show you what to do. In that hidden way is where I'm going to provide for you. You know, we look for God to be able to answer prayer in lights, and sometimes God doesn't answer prayer in lights. Sometimes God answers prayer in darkness. You look for ways that you think God is going to take and write it out in gold and deliver it to you one day. Can I tell you, living the Christian life is not always pleasurable. It's not always fun. It is not always fulfilling. It is not always comfortable. It is not always, if you would please, delightful. It is not always the fastest ride. It is not always the most type of thing that you would expect. Sometimes God has to take you through the valley so you can learn to appreciate the mountain. Now watch this, if you will. And so here we see that here is that which is a man of God. Man of God is going to go through a crisis just like anybody else. Can I tell you, men of God are human? Can I tell you, your Sunday school teacher is human? Young people, can I tell you, your parent is human? Well, I wish my parents would never have a fight, a fuss, a disagreement. Humans do that, you know. Can I tell you that somebody's going to get up one day and try and sing a song and they're going to miss a note? It's going to happen. Can I tell you, you soul winners that go out, and thank God, you know, 150, 160 soul winners or 170 soul winners go out every week of the world from Parkside Baptist Church. And that's a wonderful testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I tell you, there's even going to be a day for those that are soul winners when you go out and you knock on a door and you go brain dead and you forget your own name. There's going to be times of personal crises. Maybe you'll lose a job. Maybe you lose your health. Maybe you thought that you had a handle on something. You only find out that that which you thought you had a handle on now has a handle on you. Maybe you lose your mate. Maybe all of a sudden one of your children goes haywire. Maybe all of a sudden your Social Security is no more. Maybe your best friend forsakes you. What is that called? That's called the brook drying up. Maybe all of a sudden you find yourself destitute and alone, forsaken and in disparity. Maybe that is your book drying up. Maybe you walk into a room hoping your friends will encourage you, only to find that the room's empty. That's your book drying up. Maybe you come to church like some do. They come to church and they think, boy, I'll tell you what, my life is a mess. Everything has gone wrong that could go wrong. Everything that I touch does not turn to gold, but it turns to coal. You know, it just doesn't seem like I'm happy anymore. I drag myself to church. I drag myself to sit in the pew. I don't have any joy anymore. Well, first off, don't forget there's only one person that gives you joy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When all of a sudden David had committed sin with Bathsheba, he went to the Lord. He didn't go to another man. He didn't go to another person, but he went to the Lord, and he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Amen. Nobody can give you joy except the Lord. And so we come to church sometimes and we think, man, just one service will change me forever. No, church is like taking vitamins. You keep taking them and keep taking them and keep taking them and keep taking them, and eventually health shows up. Eventually improvement shows up. You can't come to church and say, wow, one sermon would change me forever. Can God do it? Has God done it? Yes, He has, and yes, He can. But can I tell you, most of the time, it's not that way. Most of the time when you come to church, it's one truth added to another truth added to another truth. Christians grow slowly. just like a cake. You don't smack it all together. Well, I don't know if you smack it together anyway, do you? But you just don't kind of put it all together and throw it in there and pop, it comes out. It takes time. It just takes time. Just like relationships, it takes time. So can I say, as you go through the crises, realize you're not alone. As you're going through the times of disparity in your life, realize you're not alone. And also realize that God uses unlikely things to be able to help you make it through your crises. 1929, the stock market had crashed. At that time, there was more men that were educational and men that were entrepreneurialists and men that had their act together in their financial world. There was more men in those three categories that committed suicide than any other noted time in American history. You know why? Because they were relying on something other than God. You have to learn to rely on God. You have to learn to get along with God. One day, your bottom is going to fall out, but God is the one that can create a new bottom. God is the one that can create a new height. God is the one that can answer that prayer all over again. When it seems like that your life is over, that's when God can move in, and that's when God can take control, and that's when God can begin to help, and that's when God can begin to strengthen. But as long as you're full of yourself, you're empty of Him. But when you're empty of Him, you can become, you're empty of yourself, you can become full of Him. Yes. Now, let me give you a couple of things to think about. Statement number one, Elijah's life did not end here, neither will yours. When all of a sudden your brook dries up, Elijah's life did not end when the brook dried up, neither will yours. When all of a sudden there's a time of loneliness, a time of disparity, a time where it seems like that depression is over, when it seems like that there's a cloud and the cloud that is out there hangs only over your head. Nobody else has a cloud but you. And it just seems like that God is allowing these dark times in your life. Can I tell you that that in Elijah's life, it did not end there when the cloud was there, and it won't end in your life. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, "Behold, I've commanded." It says a widow there. This is what it says. "Behold, I've commanded a widow there." Now, the Bible talks about that. Look at it, if you will, and let's see it together in that verse 9. It says, "Arise." It says, "Get thee." It says to Zarephath, and it says that belongeth to Zidon, and it says, "And dwell there." So he's supposed to go there and dwell. That's the first part. So he's got to arise from where he's at. You cannot, the brook's drying up. When the brook is drying up, you just can't sit there and say, the brook is drying up. I guess I'll just sit here and die. No, the brook is drying up, and so God says, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to send you to another place where the brook is not drying up in your life. And I'm going to send you to that place. And that place, I want you to dwell there. Now, by the way, he was not told, just go there and dwell. And I'm going to supply it this way. Or I'm going to supply it that way. No, he's got to listen to the entire commandment. The Bible did not give the name of the widow. The Bible did not give her address. The Bible did not say you're going to meet her at the entrance of the city. He said, no, you go to that place, and he said, you dwell there. You dwell there. You dwell there. Well, I'll tell you what, it just doesn't seem like things are happening in my life, but are you there where God told you to be? If you're there where God told you to be, then you be patient on God. You wait on God. You let God answer prayer. God can do that in your life. But you can't be impatient. See, watch this. The Bible says, and I commanded, it says, the widow woman there to sustain thee. So now, wait a minute. Here's what God is doing. Jonathan, come if you will. And so let's say that I represent the Lord, and I'm telling that which is Elijah to be able to do this. He said, look, I'm the one that provided for you. I gave you out of the brook. I sent the raven down. Raven fed you. Now all of a sudden the brook is drying up, and I'm telling you, son, here's what you need to do. You need to rise up. You need to go down to Zarephath. You need to go down to the city, and you need to abide there. Now, don't you think maybe If you see your brook drying up, that you want absolute answers now. Because when we have problems, tell me now what to do. Answer me now. Now watch this. The bigger the emergency, the more urgent it is in your heart that you feel the need or the compellment to get an answer now. Now, the stones, or if you would please, the brick around the building is falling down, and you're seeing them as they're coming down. And you don't want to say, now, God, take your time. I'm standing here under the building. The bricks are now collapsing. They're coming down. Take your time now, God, and just tell me what to do as the bricks are getting closer to my head. Normally, no. Normally, what we want to do is say, tell me right now what to do because I see the emergency. Is not that the way we are? Is that part of you being human? So now the bricks are falling in Elijah's life, and God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to that city of Zarephath, and I want you to abide there that's a part of Zidon, and I want you to be there, and there's going to be a widow woman that's going to come. Doesn't tell who the name is. Doesn't tell how she's going to do it. But this widow woman is going to sustain thee. Now, wait a minute. Wouldn't you have questions? Well, sure you would. But Elijah didn't ask any questions. Here's what he did. Elijah just decided, I'm going to go and I'm going to obey God. And by the way, if you can trust God, then you're in a place where God can bless you. Maybe the brook drying up is your finances. Maybe it's a hardship. Maybe it's losing a loved one. Maybe it's a surgery that you face. Whatever that brook is that's drying up. The week before we arrived in the Philippines, there was a pastor. His wife got up, pastor's a small church. She got up to sing, and the special was singing in a group. And while singing, she had a brain aneurysm. While singing. Started to shake, dropped her paper, then collapsed on the platform. Rushed her to the hospital, and she died while we were on the way to the Philippines. Young pastor's wife, small children. Okay, now wait a minute. Here was a lady that did not see that coming. And by the way, the family didn't see that coming either. Is that a hardship? Is that devastating? But here this pastor still came to the conference, still brought his children to the conference, still needed encouragement, still traveled, still stayed within the game plan to be able to get the encouragement. Come on. Come on. See, here's the thing. When all of a sudden tragedy hits, circumstances hit, crises hit, and the Bible says that a just man, that the steps of a just man are ordered, they stay in order, ordered by the Lord. I hope to God that if something happens to me, my children, or my wife, that those of us that are walking with the Lord would still stay ordered by the Lord. Still stay in the same path. Still go in the same direction. See, and so here Elijah was hearing from that which is God himself. He had not yet faced the widow's son's death. He had not yet faced the false prophets of Baal. He had not yet faced that which was sitting underneath a juniper tree as he ran 100 miles away from Jezebel. Now, may I say, all these things are coming his way. He don't know they're going to come, but here's what God is teaching him. If I can sustain you by the brook, if I can sustain you through a raven, if I can sustain you through a widow woman, then certainly these bigger things that's about to hit you, well, I can sustain you through them too. See, the things you're going through right now is preparing you for the things to come. Well, you know, this is a big thing. I'm not trying to scare you, but you might have something bigger coming. But if you don't pass the test on the little things, how in the world are you going to pass the test on the big things? See, here's what we see. Statement number one, Elijah's life did not end here. Yours won't either. Statement number two, here's what we see. Statement number two, God is using circumstances to teach Elijah simply to trust him more. So God's using these circumstances in his life. God's not mad at him. You don't see there's judgment here. You don't see that God is trying to correct him. You don't see there's disciplinary actions here. You don't see that God is taking, if you will please, and pulling the rug out necessarily to bring a rebuke in his life or is wrathful towards him. No, all God is doing is preparing him for greater. God is preparing him for the day when he's going to face a widow's son that's going to die. God is preparing him for the greater on Mount Carmel when he's going to face those prophets of Baal. God is preparing him for the greater when all of a sudden he faces Jezebel and physically gets so down and physically gets so tired as he runs 100 miles away and sits underneath the juniper tree and says, God, I wish that I'd never been born. Hey, wait a minute. I'm saying this. I'm saying that here's what God is doing. God is teaching you to trust him now. Amen. So that you can trust him later on. You said, preacher, I'm in the biggest crisis of my life. You think? Preacher, nothing is going right now. Could get worse. Good news. But what I'm saying is this. If you rely on him now, he'll help you to make it through. Wise in the Philippines, I got a friend of mine that he learned dentistry in Saudi Arabia and transferred, of course, back to his home country, the Philippines. And, you know, he's a good friend. And so his name is Sergio, first name is Sergio, just like Brother Sergio Castillo here. But Brother Sergio is my personal dentist, and he's a good guy. He doesn't charge me anything, and he just does all my dental work, and just a fine, outstanding gentleman. Not because of that, just because of our friendship, and he's a good Christian brother. And now I sat 3 hours one day. 3 hours. He's working on one tooth for 3 hours in a dental chair. Now, boy, I thank God for him. But can I tell you, that was my little crisis. Now, you don't know what you're going to face until sometimes you enter into your chair. Hello? And most of the time, crises are very personal. Nobody else was sitting in that chair. Nobody else was sweating in that chair. Nobody else was nervous in that chair. Nobody else was praying to God like I was praying to God in that chair. But can I tell you that as I sat there, boy, and he was doing this work on that one tooth, can I tell you over and over and over again that circumstances teaches us? They teach us. And every circumstance that you, stay with me, every circumstance that you're going through right now was divinely placed by God in your life to teach you something that you have not yet learned. You don't understand, preacher, I'm going through this. You think God's surprised? I mean, God, the creator of the universe, you really think he's surprised? But well, you're quiet now. But preacher, you understand that I just don't think it's right. Who are you? Who am I? But preacher, I just think that God should be dealing more fairly with me. Are you big enough to tell God? See, here's what we have to understand. The Bible says that every good gift. See, when God sends a gift down to you, he sends it down in his goodness. But you don't see his goodness because in the middle of it, you see a crisis. But is the crisis helping you to pray more? Is it helping you to trust God more? Is it helping you to get closer to your family? Is it helping you to structurally put your life in order so that you'll more faithfully serve him and be more dedicated to his causes, not your causes? I'm saying when crisis comes in your life, God's got a plan and God is God and you have to let God be God. I'm saying this morning. I'm saying Elijah's life did not end here when the brook dried up. Yours won't either. Statement number two, God uses circumstances to teach Elijah to trust him more. Why? Because there's going to be a day in your life when you're going to need the more. Hey, thank God for the sunshine. Woo! Man, I got off the plane, was greeted by my beautiful wife, and Mrs. Cavanaugh came to greet Dale, and that was great. And we stepped outside of the airport, and it was not the hot weather of Texas. Wow. Amen. Stepped outside, and it was like something like 70-something. Greeted by the cool air after being in the Philippines where it was hot and muggy and high humidity and sweat every time you breathed. Now, wait a minute. What is that? I'll tell you what that is. You know, that is God's goodness, but only because I thought it was God's goodness. If it would have been 103, that would have been God's goodness too. If it would have been 115, that would have been God's goodness too. See, here's what, stand up if you will. Here's what we try and do. We try and be little me, and yet in praying to the Lord, we try to bring the Lord down to where we are. When we're not supposed to be that way. Amen. What we're supposed to be doing is always rising closer to the Lord. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to always be getting closer to Him. Yeah. Not trying to bring Him down to our circumstance. Right. You know, if I go to God, God can help me up. Come on. Yeah. All of a sudden I get down. No better person to rely on than God. Yeah. God can pick me up. But if I just go to a mere man can temporarily pat me on the, hey, but I'm telling you, here Elijah learned a great lesson that I need to rely on him. He's the one that controls the brook. And if the brook dries up and he's the one that controls the brook, it's okay. Amen. If all of a sudden the raven stops coming and he's the one that speaks to the raven's heart, it's okay. Because God still loves me, and God still cares about me, and God still knows the number of the hairs that's on my head, and God knows everything about me, and God will not forsake me, and God will not walk away from me, and He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the one that says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He'll always be there for me. So if I can't see Him in the brook, and I can't see Him in the raven, it's okay. God's got something else, and God can take care of me. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this if you will. Here's what we see. Elijah's life, it didn't end here, neither will yours when your brook dries up. Statement number next. God is using the circumstances in Elijah's life to help him to trust him more. Statement number next. Let me give it to you and I'm done. Elijah had to wait on God for the lessons to be learned. He had to wait on him. Hey, Elijah, I want you to go down to a city. And I'm going to send you a widow woman. By the way, in this time, if you do a history study, you're going to find out that that particular city was full of widow women. There was widow women everywhere. So who do I trust? You ever do that? Who do I trust? Who do I trust? How do I remember when I was in Bible college, and this is many years ago, I've been preaching over 30 years. I remember I was in Bible college. I said, now, dear God, please, you led me here. You've been good to me. But God, I'm trusting you to provide, you to provide, you to provide. Then I'd go down to the mailbox. I'd open the mailbox. And I was waiting to see how God was going to provide through the mailbox. I was zoned that that's the only way God could provide. And so, dear God, I know you're going to take care of me. But the whole time that I was there, in the first couple of months I was there, I had peanut butter and jelly for breakfast, lunch, and supper. That's all I could afford. Now wait, stay with me. But never one time in those first couple of months was I thankful for the peanut butter and jelly. And it was only at the time that I got on my knees and said, God, I thank you for this, that God gave me more. I had to make it through I call it my peanut butter and jelly era. You know, and man, but there had to come a time, you know, here I'm eating the peanut butter and jelly. Now, I prayed. Sure I did. But there's a difference in thanking God and being thankful. So I prayed, said, God, thank you for the peanut butter and jelly. God, bless you. Thank you. Bless it to my body. Give me strength. But there had to come a time in my life, Brother Butler, when I got on my knees and said, God, I am very thankful for this. Lord, you provided this. And I'm so happy, and I thank you so much for this, that all of a sudden now money started rolling in, and now I'm not eating peanut butter and jelly ever again. Do you realize I could still be eating peanut butter and jelly today? Hello? I'm saying this. I'm saying that Elijah had to wait on God. He had to be satisfied with his meat. He had to be satisfied with the provision that only a raven's not going to bring. Have you ever seen the beak of a raven? He's not going to bring a whole lot of stuff. It's not to be coming in bags. It's just going to be a little bit at a time. Little bit at a time. And when we be satisfied with the little bit at a time, then God says, okay, I can trust you with the little. You've been pleased with it. You've been happy with it. You've been thankful for it. Now, because you have done that, I can give you more. Our problem is we're never satisfied with the more. Come on. God, I want a better wife, so I'll divorce her and go get another. God, I want a better wife, so I'll divorce her and go get another. God, I want a better wife. I'll divorce her and go get another. Never satisfied. Boy, I wish I had somebody else's husband. No, you don't. You know, at church, everybody puts on the sunshine. You can't judge people just by church. Come on. Are you saying we're hypocrites? Yeah. You can't judge people just by church. Everybody comes to church, they got their Bible. You know how you can tell if a Christian is true blue and they're walking with God? How do they walk with God during the crises? What words do they use? Do they use curse words? Vulgarity? Do they get mad? Is it all flesh? Are they angry? Are they walking around with a sweet spirit saying, thank the Lord? Because if I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell. So anything above hell is a cherry. Thank the Lord. Now, by the way, listen to me. This is not very deep, but I'm telling you this morning, that Elijah's life did not end when the brook dried up. Yours won't either. I'm telling you this morning that God used circumstances to teach Elijah simply to trust him more. Trust him more. Instead of complaining, God, I'm in my pit. Get me out. Why don't you say, God, thank you for the pit. Help me learn while I'm in here. Instead of saying, boy, God, I just don't understand. How come mom and dad are not getting along? I just don't understand it. Why don't you love them enough to get on your knees and to pray and be faithful to church and do what you're supposed to do? Hey, glorify God while you're in your pit. Amen. Then you'll be able to thank him even more when everybody else comes out of the pit. Hello. Oh, come on, come on, come on. If I was in a pit this morning, or excuse me, if Brother Nash was in the pit, I like him being in the pit better than me. But if Brother Nash was in the pit, and I come along, and he's in a deep pit. I mean, it's 10 foot below or more. By the way, when he gets in a pit, he always gets in a deep pit. That's funny if you knew what I saw, man. And so here Brother Nash is in a pit. Man, he's way down there. I knew one of two things. I said, Brother Nash, I'm coming. I'm going to get you out. Now we're both in trouble. I say, I'm here. I'm going to get you out. And he looks at me and says, preacher, now how are we going to get out of here? I say, well, I don't know. I came down to help you. Hello? And we're both in the pit. But what I could do is say, okay, hey, I'm going to get you out. You stay right there. I go back, use a little bit of logic, get a rope. Realizing that he's way down there, I'm going to get some help. I'm going to get these two guys here. Boy, we're going to get that rope, and we're going to work together to pull him out. That's what we're going to do, together to pull him out. Come on. See, here's what we understand, that Elijah had to wait on God because God was going to teach him some lessons. As Brother Nash might be in his pit, or you might be in your pit, might be good to look around and say, boy, you know, while I'm down here, let me check this out. Because I might not ever be here again. What a privilege it is to be here now. Hello? And instead of saying, God, get me out now, and I'm scared and I'm fearful. Hey, if you can trust him in the darkness, when you get out, you'll be able to more readily trust him in the light. Thank God that you're in a pit. Thank God that things are not going well. Thank God that there's a God that can help you even while you're in darkness in your life. Thank God for when your brook dries up. Because God will provide other. Let me give it to you. Here it is, and I'm done. Look at verse 8. Bible says in verse 8, now look in your Bible. Here's what the Bible teaches in verse 8. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came on to him saying, so even though the pit had dried up, the word of the Lord is going to come. It's going to tell him again. The word of the Lord is going to come and going to advise him again. The word of the Lord is not going to just, the Lord himself is not going to get you through without giving you an answer and some direction inside of your life. When the water dries up, it's okay. When the food dries up, it's okay. When the brook dries up, it's okay. When the house payment comes and you don't know what to do, God can still sustain you. When the child all of a sudden needs braces and you don't have a way to pay, God, if you trust him, can show you a way. When there's the terminal cancer, now all of a sudden it just doesn't seem like you're able to make it through, God can sustain you. God can help you. Don't panic. Don't panic. Closing illustration, one verse and I'm done. I was in Thailand, first time ever that I had this thing. I was in Thailand. There's me and three other Thai men in the back of a car. Can I tell you, it was tight. And there's four men up front, driver and three men. I'm sitting in the middle, or close to the middle, of these guys that's in the back. And all of a sudden, my world closed in. And I thought, oh, I got to be able to see. Because all of a sudden, I started to panic. Now, why? I don't know. I had no idea. You know, but it's just like the world started to close in. And I thought, man, I got to see. So I told the guys in the front, I said, part your heads where I can see out that front window. So they did. Then after a while, we stopped, and I got to get on the end where I could see out the window there. All right, now, wait a minute. Did you know that there will be times in your life, if you're not careful, where you seem so compressed by things around you, if you're not careful, it'll be easy to panic. Come on. Closing verse, here it is. Over in the book of Romans chapter, or book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, not faint. How many times have we read that? How hard is that to practice? It is very important that we understand when the brook dries up, raven stops to bring food, God says, you just wait on my word, I'll show you what's next. Then all of a sudden, he may lead you to go to a widow. She's having a hard time sustaining herself.
Yeah, yes, sir.
But yet God used her. The older I get, I was telling Brother Stead this the other day, where he was one of the deacons that went with me to the Philippines from our church. I was telling Brother Stead, I said, the older I get, the more I find out this. God gives more through me than God gives to me. Mm-hmm. And isn't that amazing? I'll be walking along Brother Palmore, and all of a sudden I find out here's a preacher. He needs encouragement. He's using a Bible he's used for 20 years. Pages all falling out. God will speak to my heart, said, you need to buy him a Bible. And God will give more through me than God himself will give to me. And God many times will want to use you that way.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.